Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind.
Is there within the district, Mr. Superintendent, an understanding of what reasonable homework assignments are?
I have my own definition of what reasonable and unreasonable is. I've never given my definition to all the teachers or all the principals. Hope that they would use common sense in deciding what is reasonable. That's my take on it.
This was, I thought, a very interesting conversation that the Escambia County Public Schools Board, the school district, was having last week. Patty Hightower was the first voice. Is there a definition of reasonable amount of homework? And Keith Leonard was giving the answer, which is no, not really. They were working through, and they have been working through, revision of their policies and procedures manual, student handbook and code of conduct, just kind of all of that stuff. And, you know, this was kind of one of the portions is, you know, students should only be given a reasonable amount of homework to do every day. And, of course, reasonable is a pretty poorly defined, right? That's not a quantity. You know, each grade might, you might say, have a different sort of expectation level. But if you don't have any clarity about what's expected, I remember, you know, in college, the rule was always 2-1. Like, for every hour of work you have in a class, you're expected to not have more than 2 hours of work outside of class. Now, of course, that can clump up at times, right? You might go the first 2 weeks of a class and have only a half hour per hour, and then, you know, at finals time or at paper writing time, it might be 4 hours. Just, you know, but generally speaking, over the course of a semester, if you got a 15, you know, hours a week course, 15 hours a week, if you've got a 3 hour a week course, then you should have, you know, maybe 6 hours a week should be the outside of class. But for high school or junior high, middle school, whatever, grade school, you know, well, what's that relationship?
One teacher gave a reasonable amount, and then six others gave a reasonable amount, which became unreasonable. So, you know, that's why I wonder if we put something like this in here, do we as a board know what we mean if somebody calls us and asks us that question?
I think that's the right question. And frankly, when they were talking about this, what I was thinking is, I think it'd be kind of nice if, for the parents' benefit, you could have in the policy manual that this is the amount of homework that is normal for a high schooler. You know, it's 3 hours a night, let's say. I don't know what that number should be, but I'm just, you know, throwing something out there. Now, some people, of course, have the view that they shouldn't have any homework. I mean, you get them for 7 hours. Can you not get it done in 7 hours? Well, you know, I mean, I think at high school you're expected to have some take-home work. That's pretty normal. Grade school, probably not so much the take-home work. Although, you know, even in grade school you're going to do some. You know, maybe you put out a blurb in your parent handbook or your policies manual that says, you know, grade school, figure an hour a day. You know, high school, figure 3 hours a day. I don't know. Make up at least some parameter, because that way a parent, you know, my kid's doing 6 hours of homework a day. This is a problem, right? And, you know, to know on their end, because the way they've kind of got it set up is you just, the kid does the work, and then if it's too much, you complain, and then you kind of work it out. But how do you even know if it's appropriate to complain unless you have some target that you're thinking about?
Opinion is that the person who decides what is reasonable for homework is typically the teacher, and that's been one of the areas of ownership that teachers have had. And typically you would expect a kindergarten teacher to know what's reasonable for that level, et cetera, et cetera. For IB is going to be strictly different. For an academy, maybe a different also.
Yeah, the IB program, PHS, might have a different level of homework than a career academy or something else. That's Paul Fetzko talking.
I think that if something becomes deemed maybe not so reasonable, that parent and or student or students would have a discussion with the principal and the teacher involved, and it would best be dealt with at the school level.
But again, I, you know, in the interest of standardization and also reasonable expectations by parents, it seems to me like you could have a number in mind. Just as a ballpark, I mean, you can put a footnote on there and say, hey, different days are going to vary, and we understand it's not going to be exactly, you know, 97 minutes per day of homework for a student who's in the 11th grade, but maybe give somebody a ballpark of what's reasonable to expect. You know, 2 hours a day on average is about right, or 3 hours a day on average is about right, or an hour, you know, depending on the grade level, whatever. And what they're saying instead is, well, if you feel like it's too much, then complain to the teacher, and they'll complain. Then you complain to the principal, and, you know, go from there all the way up if it seems to be too much. And it's kind of a byproduct of apparently there is not a good coordinated effort to talk to all the other teachers and see what, which I get it. It's hard to coordinate these things. You know, when I taught college, we didn't coordinate with other teachers about how much work. You just knew, okay, I'm supposed to give them about this much, and so that's exactly what you do.
I would be very much opposed to us getting into those weeds that we don't have to work with on a daily basis, and the people who have to administer or do that at the classroom level be given the most amount of deference. Now, if a student has 40 minutes worth of homework and 8 different subjects on the same day, then that's a programming issue or something at that school level.
Right, exactly. You know, what's reasonable once in a while for a class is not the same as what's reasonable in all the classes on the same exact day. And it's almost, you know, when you think about it, it's almost kind of interesting that this isn't usually such a big problem, that this doesn't go wrong more frequently, that they have just massive amounts of homework on particular days. But I thought basically I disagreed with that take that the school board shouldn't at least provide some kind of a parameter, you know, something as a guide for parents to understand. And I get that if you set a number, then the parent's going to complain if it's 10 minutes longer than that number, and every student is going to work at a different pace. I get all of these concerns. It just to me seems like at least at college, we always knew this is what to expect. And at the junior high and high school level, what do you expect? How do you know that it's wrong? And given that kids have family lives and friend lives and often work lives when they're a little bit older, some kind of normalcy definition seems entirely reasonable to have in your policies manual. 717 on News Radio 92.3. Feel free to disagree with me. 437-1620 is my phone number if you want to text me anytime at all. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is brought to you by Frontier Motors. If you are on West 9 Mile Road and Pensacola Boulevard, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, so please use caution in that area. Otherwise, looking good here in Pensacola. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. If you're on Highway 98 east and westbound through Navarre and Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smoothly and not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or in Carr City. If you do see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. My name is Jimmy with Traffic on the Fives.
You know, if you're 64, turn 65, or you're retiring, you're going to make a conversion maybe over onto Medicare, and it's something that you've never thought much about because your whole life you've done health insurance one way, and now you're going to do it a whole different way, and that can be kind of a, what's going to happen here? Well, it's really not that big of a deal, but it does help to have somebody who knows the system and can answer your questions to navigate you through that transfer. Ricky Stewart, she's a friend of mine. I've known her as long as we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one piece of insurance that she handles is conversion over to Medicare. And you've got questions about Advantage and supplement and prescription drugs and Medicaid, perhaps, and does that apply to you? And all of those things are very easy to understand. But if it's new to you, it's not so easy to understand. Well, she can help you understand all of it. 341-2185 is her phone number, or just look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance. A couple of the texts we're getting in on this question of homework and setting a standard for students at least to expect what level of homework time consumption on a daily basis they should be looking for and what's abnormal. A couple of texts in here at 437-1620. Somebody says, homework is a school system's way of making up for the abysmally short school day and school year, but placing the entire cost on the children. I would say also on the families, taking time away from them. Somebody else says, how much of the homework is a failure on the part of the student to do it at school? Yeah, could be. Could be. I mean, at least, you know, when I was in school, we had, you know, a study hall, and, you know, sometimes you had opportunities to get work done outside of, you know, structured activities. Somebody else says, Andrew, one of the challenges with figuring out how much time is that a 30-minute assignment for one student may be a 2-hour assignment for another. their ability, their comprehension. Oh, sure. I mean, you know, everybody's taking the same geometry class, and one student who's quite talented at math might get that assignment done quickly, and another student might struggle for hours and hours. And that problem doesn't typically change. I mean, you know, it doesn't get better, right? Yeah, I understand it's difficult. And somebody says, well, if you can't define it, you can't argue about it. No, see, that's the problem, right? How do you know what your rights are? How do you know when a complaint is reasonable unless you know what the target is? You know, and, you know, if you don't have a target, you probably won't hit, and you probably won't hit it. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, I've been telling you for a long time about Pounders, how they just opened, but I have been wanting them to come here, Pounders Hawaiian Grill, to come to Pensacola for years. And we always would go stop at the one in Crestview when we were coming back from, like, vacations elsewhere in Florida, or, like, my son and I sometimes go airsofting in Laurel Hill. And we always stop. And I bring home for the boys who aren't with. I mean, it's just, it's so good. The teriyaki chicken, teriyaki steak, Kahlua pig, the garlic chicken, the white rice, brown rice, macaroni salad. It's all so good. And you can order as much or as little as you like, you know. 1, 2, 3 servings based on how hungry you are. I mean, I would say just get all three and then you eat it later as a leftover. It's that good. Anyway, every time we'd go there, I'd go in the back and say, hey, when are you coming to Pensacola? When are you coming to Pensacola? Well, they finally caved. And they came to Pensacola. So they are right now on North Davis Highway across from Academy Sports and JCPenney in the old Dickies location. And we went there the other day for my son's birthday. Oh, so satisfying. Seriously. Now, they're not open Sundays or Mondays. So if you're going to go this weekend, go on Saturday, okay, or go on Friday. Not open Sundays or Mondays. But Pounders Hawaiian Grill on North Davis. Outstanding fast casual Hawaiian.
Here's today's strength for life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God, so rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, check out Cinemas in the Sand at the Gulfside Pavilion. Bring your beach chairs and enjoy Jumanji beginning at sunset. It's a free event presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Gallery night in downtown Pensacola is Friday night from Garden to Main. This month, highlighting Earth Day. GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You got a plan, darling?
I always got a plan. They don't ever work, but I always got one.
Yeah. also this morning at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas, Dave and I were so proud to accept the Crystal Award for Community Service on behalf of News Radio 92.3.
Holy smokes, we won. This was when we got nominated and selected for a Crystal Award back in February as a finalist. There's 50 stations in the entire U.S., and this is one of those awards where you don't compete based on market size or format. So it's news talk stations like us up against other news talk stations in big and small markets, and country and rock and L.A., New York, Dallas, and Pensacola, you know. And then we won yesterday. They picked us. 10 stations in the U.S. get a Crystal Award every year for excellence in community service. So out of the entire United States of radio stations, which means that we were competing against, you know, those massive market stations, big legacy stations, whatever. And we managed to win this award for the second time. We've won it for news radio. So very, very exciting. And that was Mary Hoxing, who absolutely loves to be on the radio. She so hates it. Dave, of course.
Our entire team is excited to have won this national recognition from the National Association of Broadcasters in competition with stations all over America. Of course, we greatly appreciate the support we get from our community, and this gives us the incentive to rise up and do a better job today than yesterday. Thank you, Pensacola.
Absolutely. Amen. And Mary talking about Dave's lifelong dream to own a radio station.
Dave decided when he was a young boy in high school that he wanted to own a radio station. And that is what we worked for so many years.
Oh my God, so many years of making Cat Country happen, and then News Radio and ESPN Pensacola and the playlist. I mean, they went to the Supreme Court to get the license for Cat Country. It's crazy. 727 on News Radio 92.3. So thank you so much for letting this Midwestern kid do what he does, and letting the Iowa kid in the newsroom do what he does, and, you know, letting us talk to you every morning and hang out with you in the car and talk about Pensacola. And I mean, we love this area. Absolutely love it. I've never seen radio done this way. And Dave and Mary, it's a credit to them to set up a radio station like this. Jimmy has got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you're on West 9 Mile Road and Pensacola Boulevard, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, so please use caution in that area. Otherwise, looking good here in Pensacola. I-10 and I-110 are all looking good. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. Galt Beach Highway not showing any delays, and no delays on Burgess or Olive. If you do see something on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. Congratulations, David.
Thank you, and I second everything you said. This is a wonderful organization to be a part of, and I've also never seen radio done this
never.
Way. It is amazing.
I don't – this is going to come off wrong, I'm sure, but people who listen to Cat Country and news radio and have, like, been around this for a long time, it's not like this. It's
right.
Just not like this anywhere else. It's an amazing thing that they do. And, you know, getting out in the community and hosting events and putting on fundraisers and all that. I mean, some of that stuff other radio stations do, but I've just never seen it like
this. Not to
this
level.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah,
great
ahead.
To be a part of. President Biden calling on the office of the U.S. Trade Representative to triple the tariff rate on Chinese steel and aluminum imports. He's making that call as he campaigns through Pennsylvania. He's slated to deliver remarks today at the United Steelworkers in Pittsburgh. Arizona lawmakers may vote today on repealing the state's anti-abortion law from 1864. There's some reporting the Democrats may have enough votes to repeal the law with the help of Republicans who hold a one-seat advantage in the state's House and Senate. And today, Andrew, we celebrate the banana.
Today we celebrate America's most widely purchased fruit that isn't a fruit at all. Bananas are related to the lily family. The Mayo Clinic says we eat about 90 bananas a year. They're high in potassium, have about 105 calories, and they're only a little bit radioactive. The EPA says it's naturally occurring, and you'd have to eat about 275 to feel it. I'm Bree Tennis.
And you know, I've recently completed my Florida transformation and planted my first banana tree at my new home.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
Wow. Good luck making life come out of sand. We've had in our backyard, we have a Granny Smith tree and a Pink Lady tree, and also I think it's an orange, but we have so far not managed to overcome the sand. They're alive.
Yeah.
They're alive. We'll just put it that way. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Somebody had texted me, and it's a little bit too long to read on the air, but basically saying that Andrew, kind of counting time for homework may not be a functional model because every student is so different. Every, you know, capability is so different. You know, two different students, even in the same household with the same parents, one might get, you know, homework that takes them 20 minutes a night and the other one might take them a couple hours. I get it. I do. I understand that. And so it's the amount of homework to get them through the coursework. I get that, too. And all I'm saying is some kind of ballpark target seems like it would make sense.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Senators will be sworn in as jurors today in the impeachment trial of DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott on Fox's Hannity.
Republicans want this to be an exercise that is thorough, that finds the truth and brings to the surface the absolute disaster of the Biden administration imperiling and jeopardizing American lives.
But Democrats in the Senate could quickly move to dismiss the trial. Some House Republicans are also threatening to kick Mike Johnson out of the speakership over his support for foreign aid packages. But Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke isn't one of them.
I think it's a distraction. He's not going anywhere.
Zinke on Fox Business. No court today for former President Donald Trump. Jury selection in his hush money case will resume tomorrow. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. It's News Radio 92 368 right now, mostly cloudy in Pensacola. It appears that momentum is building towards expanding the community partnership school program throughout Escambia County. District leaders say the results so far have been tremendous. At C.A. Weiss and Bellevue Elementary Schools, as well as Pine Forest High School, the Escambia Children's Trust looks like they're considering funding 10 more community schools.
I have high hopes. I mean, it just really got me excited. We really almost have everything in the right place at the right time to do something very, very special in this county. I mean, very special.
School board member Kevin Adams, Children's Trust Executive Director Lindsay Cannon says the plan would be to add two new community partnership schools over the next 5 years. The cost to bring in that program is about $450,000 per school. School resource officers and Gulf Breeze now being outfitted with new ballistic shields that were donated to the Gulf Breeze Police Department by Bob Tyler Toyota.
These bulletproof shields, one in each of the schools, just helps for their safety if they have to respond to anything that we don't want really to happen. They're going to be the first ones on scene, the first one going toward the threat. And having that shield will just, you know, give them a little reassurance of a little more safety.
Police Chief Rick Hawthorne, who talked with Channel 3, those shields would be kept on site at Gulf Breeze Elementary, Middle, and High Schools. Well, a Pensacola man is facing charges after allegedly shooting into a vehicle after a road rage incident over the weekend.
Disagreement over who's following who too closely or something like that. And then one car pulls into a, I think it's Rocky's Food Mart parking lot. They exchange words and then the victim, the owner of obviously the victim car, goes inside the mart, and then this guy pulls out a gun and he shoots the window out of the car, and then he drives off.
Sheriff Chip Simmons tells News Radio that investigators quickly identified Thomas Weissner as a suspect in the case. The sheriff's office did post a photo of that man on their Facebook page. He now faces multiple charges, including felony criminal mischief, discharging a firearm in public, and possession of a firearm while committing a felony. He was booked into the Escambia County Jail and released on $150,000 bond yesterday. A man synonymous with Florida politics has died. Former Democrat, state representative, state senator, governor, and U.S. Senator Bob Graham died yesterday at the age of 87. All told, Graham held elected office for 38 years in a row and never lost an election. Graham's family calls him a visionary leader, dedicated public servant, and they say most importantly, he was a loving husband, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. Also, the Florida Democratic Party mourning Bob Graham and his passing. They posted on X yesterday after his death was announced. They write that he set a standard for every elected official, regardless of party. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
Well, this traffic report is brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. If you are on West 9 Mile Road in Pensacola Boulevard, please be cautious because there was a vehicle crash earlier with debris in the roadway. Other than that, we are just seeing our typical morning congestion coming in from Gulf Breeze, Pace, and Milton, and especially in the downtown area. So just drive carefully. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barbary. Plumbing at 477-8782. My name is Jimmy with Traffic on the Fives.
We are going to have a cloudy day today. Temperatures will be nice and warm, warming up near 80 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. The cloudy forecast continues for that Thursday with a high near 80 degrees, temperatures dropping back into the mid to upper 60s. As we go into Friday, we are going to have some sunshine peeking through for the afternoon, high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we definitely have cloudy skies right now. Hopefully those will clear up before that scheduled Blue Angels practice later this morning. Right now, 68 degrees in Pensacola and also in Gulf Breeze, 63 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anheuser-Busch's beer sales dropped by $1.5 billion in North America last year. However, A&B's non-alcoholic beer sales are exceeding expectations, a shift that experts credit to a more health-conscious consumer who is less likely to reevaluate their consumption or are less likely to overindulge. The company said its no-alcohol beer portfolio, which includes Budweiser Zero, O'Doul's, and more, saw revenue growth in the high teens. Caitlin Clark continues to break records. The WNBA has reported that a whopping nearly 2.5 million people tuned in to the 2024 draft broadcast. That smashes the previous record for the 2004 draft, which pulled in just over 600,000 viewers. John Lewis of Sports Media Watch also added that it was the most watched broadcast since the 2000 game between the New York Liberty and Houston Comets. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Celebrate this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk for their 22nd annual Crawfish Festival. Enjoy live music all weekend long by Swampland Revival, The Springs, Horseshoe Kitty, and many more. The 5K gets started at 8 Saturday morning, then fireworks Saturday night, and you'll definitely want to sink your teeth into some hot, juicy crawfish and enjoy beach-famous daiquiris while watching the sunset. It's all this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Find more online at BambooWillies.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time. At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. Are you down with the DC talk? I know I am. I think Jake is the one who found that music. Maybe it was Candy. I can't remember. Anyway, DC Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola, and he joins us every Wednesday at this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, good morning.
Great to have you. Can we start with what I think is going to come as a surprise to you? Can I surprise you? Can I shock you?
Please.
The city council voted to approve the rate increase for downtown parking from 50 cents an hour to an hour. And the ultimate plan, as I understand it, is that you want to move that from ordinance into the budgeting process eventually, which will mean that you can make adjustments to different places. You can also put in that variable parking rate that you've been talking about through the app, and that ultimately this can be decided every year or whatever, as opposed to being done through an ordinance. The raise from 50 cents to a dollar an hour, I support. I agree. I know this is probably like pick me up off the floor kind of stuff. But
It is.
Yeah. So I, you know me. Okay, I want a lot of free parking, and I will never pay to park. Y'all can have it. But I do agree that if you're going to have the paid parking, right, if I've lost that slice of the argument, once I've lost that slice of the argument, 50 cents is ridiculous. that's too cheap.
Right.
A dollar or even $2 an hour is a very common, normal, sensible kind of rate if you're going to have paid parking. That makes sense to me. So did I surprise you this morning?
You did. And I agree. The point is that 50 cents is kind of the worst of both worlds, right?
Right.
I mean, you have to go through the process. You have to pay for it. You got to go find the meter. You got to find the QR code. And then you're really not helping the city generate any revenue to come fix those parking spaces right. or lighting or anything. You know, so you're really not accomplishing what the goal would be of the city for your sacrifice for that user fee. So,
and you're not turning over the space because nobody's moving because the car costs
correct.
50 cents an hour.
And to be honest with you, you know, if that's one thing that we're going to be paying attention to is, as our study showed, you know, our size based on our household income here, we looked at all of that data. The projection was we should be about $1.70 an hour. I didn't want to do that to people. You know, I want us to make sure that we get there. But is it possible that if we're still almost, you know, priced half of what we should be, that we don't see the turnover that we want? That's possible. But certainly we're going to play that out first before we jump the gun and go to something, you know, more expensive. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and there's a letter to the editor that mentioned, why can't parking be like Fairhope? Or someone will say, hey, you know, this is why I don't go downtown, because we charge for parking.
Right.
Well, I hate to say it, but we have 30% more people than 2 years ago downtown. So what I'm saying, that is the issue at hand, is that there's such demand downtown now. So that may be that one person's opinion, and that's perfectly fine. But what the data is showing us is we are seeing explosive growth of people who want to be downtown, and we got to do something to help control that and help plan for the future with those dollars and be able, whether it's a parking garage, whether it's safety measurements, cameras, all those things, you know, we've got to be able to start projecting for what the future of downtown is. And I think this is a start.
The second phase, or what I'm calling the second phase of your plan, which would be maybe third or fifth phase really by this point, but which would be to expand the hours of coverage into the evening, especially because we know that's the time when there's no charge, and yet that's the time where there's the most demand for the scarcity, but also expanding the territory, which the plan is to suck up more of the free spaces and make them into paid spaces. What's the time frame for either or both of those ideas?
We're looking at some point this summer, and I always forget to say this. I'm not a good PR person for myself sometimes. There will still be hundreds and hundreds, thousands, I believe, multiple thousands of free spaces that the city operates. So, you know, when we start talking about paid parking, everyone gets in their mind that means all free parking is going away. That is absolutely not the case. There'll be significant on-street parking. It just may not be right in front of the building you want to go to. So that will still happen even with these policy changes. But, going hours to midnight and then extending some geography will probably take place somewhere in that June, July timeframe. We'll have a better idea when we get a little closer. The good news is we're fully on to the Park Mobile app. That's been great. We've gotten enormous positive feedback with that, which was the number one concern for me for that customer experience, to make sure before we start charging more and before we start changing policy, we want to make sure we make it as easy as possible on the customer. So we're happy with that first phase and how that's gone so far. And then we'll see what happens from there. But I think at the end of the day, what we're going to end up with is the ability to do a better job of taking care of our infrastructure, do a better job of making it easy on everybody. And that's what they want. They want to be able to find a space, and they want to be able to make it easy for the transaction. That's what the survey told us. And that's what we're focused on.
And you know, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I love your plan to make it enticing for red lot owners to come onto the blue lot system. And that would actually wind up being a price decrease for most consumers and a much more convenient system and not have to deal with booting and all of that. So those are all to the good.
Correct.
The Escambia Children's Trust. This last week, Lindsay Cannon had made the announcement that the goal is to create as many as 10 new community partnership schools over the course of the next 5 years to a year at a $300,000 or $400,000 a piece price tag. That is something within the financial power of the Escambia Children's Trust to do. But footnote two, Kevin Adams on the school board says, hey, Board of County Commissioners and City of Pensacola, if you could just see fit to not require the Escambia Children's Trust to pay the CRA tax slice and instead let that money flow to them, we could do an even better job of funding these community partnership schools. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, a couple things. First, I had a meeting with Lindsay for about an hour and a half in my office yesterday to talk through, you know, what the potential of that would look like. Let me back up and say this. There isn't a town hall, there isn't a public speaking engagement that I go to with a Q&A where I don't get asked about educational outcomes here. And as it's kind of like parking. I say the same thing. I'm tired of saying that's not my job, you know, and it's all of our job, right? I mean, the school board directly, but if we want businesses to move here, if we want jobs to be created here, they look at the quality of the school system. I mean, that is a reality of this position I'm in, regardless of what authority I have over it. And so we've got to start getting serious about that. And so as I said to her, look, I'm completely open-minded. If there's something that can help city children and it's a proven outcome, like a community school, you remember Dr. Thomas, Kim Thomas was on my transition team. She's running Rice. So she's, you know, very familiar with that. I'm loosely familiar with all of the progress. Of course, I've seen the results of how great things have gone there as a community school. So I'm certainly open-minded about that. If we're saying, do we need more resources to help the children of the city? We absolutely do. But if for those dollars, which I still do believe by legally speaking, those are CRA dollars, I'm more than willing to look at being collaborative, be it the school district, the Children's Trust, and how we would make sure that those dollars are spent and spent wisely to help the kids of the city. So,
are you a supporter of the community partnership school concept?
I am.
Yeah. Very good. Excellent.
So we'll look at that. You know, there's a lot of nuance that would go into that. You know, we're going to continue to stand on our conversations, but absolutely, we got to have results at the end of the day. We can't just say, I can't say as the mayor just because it's not the school district doesn't fall under me that it's not our job. We've got to do something, and if there's something we can do that's positive, then we're going to certainly take a look at it.
Right. We're talking to DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. We got Jimmy with traffic on the fives. Jimmy,
if you are on West 9 Mile Road and Pensacola Boulevard, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, so please use caution in the area. Other than that, just the typical morning traffic coming into Pensacola from Pace and Milton on Highway 90 and westbound on 98 from Gulf Breeze and Navarre. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Mayor DC Reeves. Mr. Mayor, by the way, we've got a couple of texts in while we were talking about parking. I just wanted to share one or two with you. One is somebody says, we went to the Sanger the other night, and I literally had to find a young couple to help us figure out how to pay for parking. Very embarrassing. Somebody else says, boo, Andrew. A dollar is not better. Zero is better. They've been functioning without paid parking for years. They've always had the money they've needed to follow to allow the city to develop. So much on nonsensical and useless things. This could be better spent in other parts of the city, other forms. And somebody else says, can you ask the mayor why he wants to reduce parking spaces on Palafox Place by 50%, the area between Garden and Government Street? Before I get your answer, I do need to give an appropriate, I mean, if you're going to boo me.
Boo!
Boo me!
How fitting.
Go on, sir, go on.
Well, a lot to cover there. But
yeah, I know.
Bottom line, Chris, free parking is only going to be free for city residents until it's time for us to fix something, to build a parking garage that we have to bond. That's why this should be a user fee. That means the only people paying to help to improve and to maintain the infrastructure of downtown are the people who are using downtown. So, you know, that argument has a fallacy in it, in that when a problem comes and finds us downtown that we need to pay millions of dollars for or parking capacity, any of that type of stuff, should be all 55,000 people of the city be paying it, not the visitors, not the tourists, and not the people using it every day? Or should it be those people that should be the ones that are putting the wear and tear on downtown be the ones that should be paying for it? So that's the beauty of a user fee. And so you can't have one without the other.
What about the Palafox Place piece? That was news to me. I don't know that. And this comes from a fairly credible person.
Me too,
so.
On that count. You know, I get a lot of news delivered to me too on exactly the number of spaces. We've had conversations now for multiple years as FPL's obligation to repave. If you go down Palafox right now and you say, well, Mayor, why haven't we repaved? That's FPL's obligation when they cut the utilities in. But what we've done is we worked hand in hand with them that if we're going to do something on Palafox, we might want to look at an opportunity, a once in a generation opportunity to do something transformational on Palafox. We are looking at taking some of the parking bays on the first block. There's a major safety issue that blocks into Garden Street when people try to parallel there.
Okay.
There's lots of issues in that. So I know, I'm sure that's coming, you know, that question comes from someone who doesn't want to lose those spaces and is probably stuck in this mindset that one parking space in front of a business is the game changer. That's the difference between success and failure. We have a massive parking garage behind on Palafox.
Yeah.
The county has one. We have plenty of parking spaces. So no number has been set. I haven't even seen a design for it yet. So, you know, let that person know. Maybe that person's seen the design and I haven't.
They can send it to me. Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's going to be part of the conversation, obviously. So I appreciate you answering that question.
Sure.
Oh, just one real quick thing, because we don't have time for a big substantial thing. One quick thing is you and I talked last week, I think, about the welcome sign coming off of Three Mile Bridge from Gulf Breeze. And we now have an RFP. It's going to be the FDOT was going to put in $370. We're using their money and the actual cost is going to be $562. And this is going to be for the Pelican Neon on the kind of the wharf pier kind of thing. City Council is going to vote on it next week, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, you remember a while back, obviously doing anything with state roads adds another layer of complexity. So it's taken us a little longer than we had hoped. But, you know, we had that contest and you know, I want to give that contest credit. It's very rare that there could be an open public contest where it feels like 80 or 90% of people all agree. I think that's what happened in that case. So we're excited to get that up and going. And obviously, like everything else, the budget was a little high. We got to get some money reallocated. But also, FDOT, to their credit, from the previous number that they had set a few years ago, they gave us another $100,000. So to try to offset some of that cost. So. We should be able to get that finally up and going, and we'll have our own welcome sign coming in off the Three Mile Bridge.
That's fantastic. Yeah, no, it's good. And that'll be the Pelican design will be where the old Five Flags Welcome Center used to be before FDOT did all
Correct.
The work, just for people who haven't been following the story. All right, well, I always like to end with the lightning round. First question is, tell me something people do on Facebook that annoys you.
Ooh, man. A bunch of single random photos, you know, 8 posts at one time with a single photo in them. You know, I think it's just a technology issue.
Oh, instead of clustered as in one post where you can scroll through the photos, like it's one thing?
Correct.
I gotcha. All right. When you were in school, favorite cafeteria food?
I would say I remember vividly in my third grade at Helen Keller that square pizza with the cube pepperoni
yes.
is hard to beat.
It
was not organic. I'm fairly certain. But,
oh no, it's the best terrible food there ever has been. Cafeteria pizza. And this is an important question. Answer carefully. Dog or cat?
Oh, dog for sure. Definitely a dog guy. What are you?
Oh, dog. I mean, this is easy. You know, cats are something you use dogs to get rid of. Mr. Mayor, always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to the city council meeting next week. And, of course, Bruce Beach getting opened up a week from Saturday. That's going to be fun as well. Mayor D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.
You bet. 753 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing work done, Peden, they have really been expanding over the last couple of years because they've been so successful. You know, professional service, show up on time, do the work right the first time, stand by at 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have recently expanded last year to Baldwin County, and now they've expanded all the way to Mobile County. All of that portion to the west in the central time zone, and then all the way past the timeline over into Tallahassee. So anywhere along the Gulf Coast in that vicinity, you can call Peden to take care of any of that sort of stuff. Also, right now, you get $250 off an indoor air quality system through the entire month of April. So getting set for the summer when it's going to be really hot, as you know, every year it is, get that air conditioning system, air quality system put in place, $250 off right now. Find out more at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback and the Subaru Forester, visit Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com, and Autotrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming in to an authorized dealer like Berets for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Berets Jewelers.
Always stay sharp, alert, and ready for anything. Let the exceptional team at Jim's Firearms help you find the everyday carry knife that fits your life. They have the best brands and the largest selection of high-quality knives to choose from with lifetime warranties. Get yourself a multi-purpose knife to use for protection, hunting, fishing, or for everyday use. Keys, wallet, phone, and knife, never leave home without it. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road, at the back gate of NAS, or shop them online at jimsfirearms.net.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food. That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
Every time it rains when I'm golfing, that's what we quote. 7:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got your traffic for you. Jimmy?
This traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. If you were on West 9 Mile Road and Pensacola Boulevard, there was a vehicle crash earlier with a roadblock, so use caution there. And North Palafox Street and Murphy Lane in Pensacola, another vehicle crash, no roadblock, but please use caution. Otherwise, our typical morning traffic coming into Pensacola from Pace and Milton on Highway 90 and westbound on 98 from Gulf Breeze and Navarre. If you see anything else on the road, please call us or text us at our traffic tip line, 437-1620. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Pensacola Hardware is having their end-of-season blowout on heaters and fireplace accessories. While supplies last, they have fireplace screens, ceramic heaters, outdoor fireplaces, LP gas heaters, infrared heaters, fireplace tools, propane convection heaters, electric tower heaters, hotshot SS outdoor fireplaces, all kinds of stuff. Plus all the ordinary, get your supplies, get your advice, you know, get your, you can get great gifts in the front of house and the housewares section. I mean, all kinds of stuff at Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, one of the oldest 50 businesses in the entire U.S., the oldest in the state of Florida. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The jury selection process picking back up tomorrow. Seven jurors were selected yesterday for Donald Trump's trial, underway currently in New York City. Two people were injured after a tornado hit eastern Kansas yesterday. The National Weather Service says an EF1 tornado damaged several homes near Topeka, Kansas, just one of many reported twisters in the region.
Wow. I almost went to work in Topeka.
Really?
Yeah, Topeka was one of my my last, like, maybe-sos kind of places when I came here to Pensacola. So that and Toledo, of all places, really?
Oh.
I know. In fact, I was almost going to go to Toledo. That's kind of a funny story.
Well, I think you made the right choice.
I think I did. Yeah. I did. I came here. We won a Crystal Award. All is good.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.